I'm going to read in your hearing now the entire first chapter of John's first letter, 1 John chapter 1, 10 verses, and we have reached verse number 6. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Well, may his word be in us this morning by his grace. In seeking to open up the truth of verse number 5 a couple of weeks ago, I indicated to you that in verse number 5, this is the only time that the Greek word translated message in verse 5 is translated message. The other 52 times that it is used in the New Testament, it is translated promise. This then is the message. This then is the promise, which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Remember, all promises are messages, but not all messages are promises. Some messages could be bad news or good news, depending on the type of message it is. The message, the promise of the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is that if you have truly come personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, in personal repentance and faith, seeing and confessing the Lord Jesus Christ is your only hope of acceptance with God, both now and forever. The message, the promise from God, in whom there is no darkness or deception at all. The living, true, and only God is not going to rescind this promise. He's not going to go back on his word. He's not going to say to you when you see him on judgment day or at any time subsequent to that in the new heavens and the new earth, believer, ha, 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 I was only joking. I was only kidding. That's never going to happen, because God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. He will never deceive. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast. Why is this promise, why is this message from God never going to change? Because God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The living, true, and only God, friends, is not like the majority of politicians. Praise God, he isn't. What do I mean? They promise you one thing to get elected, or more than one thing to get elected, and then when they get elected, they do exactly the opposite thing. How many of you said, no new taxes? I'm campaigning on no new taxes. And then right after they get elected, what happens? New taxes. David said in his haste, all men are liars. But how many leaders have promised one thing and done exactly, as I said, the opposite after they have been elected? How many of you have heard of President Woodrow Wilson? Woodrow Wilson campaigned to keep America out of the European war known as World War I. After he was elected, guess who went into World War I? And we are still dealing with the consequences of his not keeping his word. Believer, lay hold of the truth that God is light and that in him is no darkness at all. If you have fled to his beloved Son as your only hope of acceptance with God, you are accepted in the beloved, both today and forever. That's the gospel. But John changes his focus now in verse 6 by declaring a truth that he knows needs to be declared because of the error and false teaching that was already seeking to undermine and assault the one and only saving gospel of God that you have in the Word of God. Friends, don't be surprised at the prevalence of error in the world. And sadly, seeking to make and making inroads, even high-speed interstates, into the confessing church. For this never-ending assault was present even while the apostles still walked on the earth. The ones that our Lord had appointed to preach and teach the truth to the confessing church, even in the first century, there were those already teaching and writing error. And John has to address this, as you see not only John do, but Paul and Peter and Jude as well. Because who wrote this warning to you, believer? The Apostle John. Think of it from this perspective. Error began in the Garden of Eden. Error began in the Garden of Eden when men listened to the father of lies rather than the God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. And it has not taken a holiday since then. It has not taken a sabbatical since then. As Abel soon had to face from his own brother. Believer, remember, the written word of God declares things to you. Truths that you need to hear, truths that you need to remember, because today is no different than when John first wrote what he does in verse 6. In fact, I would say that the dangerous error that he warns about in verse 6 is even more prevalent today.
Amen.
Because of the fallen heart of man and the fact that man's fallen heart has loved darkness rather than light, has had 2,000 years to assault the truth of the Word of God. Now, what is the dangerous and prevalent error that John is warning you to be on guard against, believer, in verse number 6? Dare I put it in a phrase that would not surprise me? You have heard, or you may have even used yourself at one time or another. How many have heard or used the phrase, talk is cheap? Talk is cheap. Or one that is a cousin to it, put your money where your mouth is. What are these phrases saying? The exact thing, same thing that John is saying at the beginning of verse 6, although in a little more colorful language. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we say it with our mouths, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. See? Talk is cheap. People can say, oh, I've got fellowship with God. They can say, I know God. And walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Friends, John had to deal with, dare I say, cheap theological talk in the first century. For how many in the first century, like today, would have been offended at the truth they were not in fellowship with God, even though they said and thought they were? This is what John is saying. He who says he has fellowship with God and walks in darkness is lying. And how many in the first century, like today, would have been offended at what John writes in this one verse? Oh, if you had an offended meter. I haven't used the meter in a while. But now maybe I have to start using phone apps. If you had a phone app to record the level of offense taken by the religious in John chapter 8, when Jesus, they said they were children of God, And what did Jesus say to them? They were children of the devil. What level of offense would be recorded on a phone app? When Jesus told these religious hypocrites that they were children of the devil and not of God. Those who prided themselves in thinking that they knew and followed God. As they desired to see God incarnate eliminated because he bothered them so much. But this was an error that obviously was assaulting the church. Why do I say this? Because of verse 6. How many in the churches were claiming to know God, even to have fellowship with God? But John was saying, if you claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness, what is coming out of your mouth does not correspond to the truth. See, talk is cheap. Yet how many in America can and do repeat the words, in God we trust? In the non-money used as money in America. Or have no problem saying the Pledge of Allegiance that has that line in it. What line is in the Pledge of Allegiance? One nation under God. At one of the many military supporting synagogues of sport. But show by the idol they define as God that they are really walking in darkness and are not living according to the truth of the one living, true, and only God who has revealed himself perfectly and finally in his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because notice what John says. Notice what he says. If we say we have fellowship with him. Who's the him? Who is the him that John is referring to? See, we shouldn't rush through even pronouns in God's word. Who is the him? The him is the living, true, and only God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, known in and through and only known in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father except through me. And this is life eternal, excuse me, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Yet how many who say, and they say this, they know who God is. They say they even have fellowship with God. Are these three statements that I've just said that Jesus declared are anathema to them? I know God, but don't tell me the only way that God can be known is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the fellowship that John is referring to is fellowship with the living, true, and only God through Christ. Not fellowship with the numerous idols of men that men call God that make them feel good about themselves. John is saying, if we say we have fellowship with him, with the living, true, and only God of the Scriptures, and walk in darkness, and walk in our own definitions of what we like and don't like about God, we do not do the truth. Truth about God must precede doing the truth. And notice what John says. If we say we have fellowship with God, that's the word koinonia. It's the word that reflects the fellowship that believers share one with another because they're one in Christ together. That which believers share with one another because of their mutual faith and confession of Christ. But a pantheist who says they believe in God, that is, God is all, cannot and does not have fellowship with God, even the idol which is everything that he calls God. Because, dare I put it as bluntly as this, how many pantheists have fellowship with the garbage they throw out or recycle? But according to the pantheist, God is everything. But you, believer, you can have fellowship with God, with the living God, with the true God, with the only God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pray to him. You can talk to him. You can commune with him. Do pantheists pray to, talk to, and have communion with the God they say is everything, with the God that is all? Do they pray to and talk to and have communion with the plastic they recycle and the tissue paper they've just used to blow their noses? See, that's the folly of false views about God. If we say we have fellowship with Him. Remember the previous verse, friends. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. He has not, He is not, and He is never going to deceive you or mislead you as to the truth of who He is. When God reveals and declares something true about Himself in His written word, you know what? It's true. It is always true. It will never become false. Even if the entire world was to walk in the darkness of man's idolatrous ideas about who God is. If the entire world was to have a plebiscite and say, who do you define God is? And if that definition did not agree with God's revelation in the Word of God and in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of the earth said, this is what God is, it's still a lie. Yet how many say they know God? How many say they believe in God? How many say they trust in God? How many say they have fellowship with God as long as they can define what the word God means for them? And their fallen heart chosen definition of God. Even though what they believe about God contradicts what the living, true, and only God has been pleased to reveal and declare about Himself. Such an idolater, such a person is walking in the darkness of their own fallen, idolatrous mind. He is believing a lie, not the true and only God of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. We walk in the darkness of our own idolatrous understanding of God. We lie. We're lying to ourselves. Idolaters are ultimately liars because they're lying to themselves about the one who will not change who He is just to please their idolatry. This is why I've said more than once, one of the most misused words in any language is the word God. Because how many define the word God in a way that directly contradicts and conflicts with what the living God, the true God, the only God has revealed and declared about Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ? If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk according to our own idolatrous ideas as to who God is, we lie and do not the truth. And what does Amos say? What does the promise Amos say? How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you have fellowship with God if you disagree with and even dislike and get annoyed at and offended at what He has been pleased to reveal and declare about Himself? As I said, the word translated fellowship is the same word to refer to the fellowship between the believers share one with another. Just one verse that uses it, Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice what preceded this fellowship, friends. The apostles' doctrine. The truth they declared about God and His saving gospel. A person who says they know God or are in fellowship with Him yet reject and dislike what God has been pleased to reveal about Himself is not serving God but an idol. And it is an idol that will not save them, but it will damn them. Think of it from this perspective. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we embrace our false conception of who God is, we are ultimately lying. But think of it from this perspective. Could you have fellowship with me, real fellowship with me, or could I have real fellowship with you if you were always disliking and disagreeing with things that I was saying were true about me, but that you didn't agree with? Could we really have fellowship together if I was to say just very simply, if I was to tell you, well, I was born in Winnipeg. No, you were born in Boston. Or if I was to say, I was the second of three children. No, you were an only child. Could you have fellowship with me? Could I have fellowship with you? No, because you're not believing things that are true about me. Now, does this sound ridiculous? Yes. Who would do that? If I was to go up to you and say, I was born in Winnipeg, I'm the middle child of three children. I lived at 1216 Valor Road in Winnipeg, Manitoba. And you said, no, you lived in Boston on Congress Street and you were an only child. You'd say, well, there's something wrong with you. That's ridiculous. No one would do such a thing. Friends, they do. Friends, they do. They do it with God. They do it with God. The God who is light and in whom there is no darkness at all. He reveals and he declares things about himself. Oh, that's not my God. I don't believe that about God. That can't be true about God. See? God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. He's not going to deceive you and tell you something about himself that's not true. Yet they still claim to know and have fellowship with God and expect to be received by God when they die. But what does John say? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. And what does John write of in the Revelation? Impenitent liars will not be allowed into God's heaven. He's not going to allow those who lie about him into his glorious, truth-filled heaven. Yet how many would be very offended in America to be told that they're idolaters? How many? And not believers in God, but that is exactly what they are when the deciding factor for them as to who God is for them is not what God has been pleased to reveal and declare about himself in his written word, the Bible, and in his beloved Son, but what they say is true about God. Or what someone else has told them about the idol they have created or believe in. This is why, friends, one of the clearest signs of 21st century mankind's depravity and darkness is not the number of nuclear weapons he has made, as clear a sign as these demonic devices are. One of the clearest evidences of the depravity and darkness of the human heart of man has been and continues to be the ecumenical movement. Because what is a defining characteristic of the ecumenical movement? You can have God your way. That's a defining characteristic of the ecumenical movement. You can have God your way. It's like one of those burger chains. You can have your burger your way. You don't want onions? Nope, no onions. You want tomato sauce? We'll give you tomato sauce. You can have God your way. Don't dare declare to me that the word God, the three letters put together, G-O-D, can be precisely and clearly defined. But again, friends, who is the hymn of verse 6? The precisely revealed and declared God of the Scriptures. For when Paul made it to Athens, what did he declare to all these idolaters? The truth about the living, true, and only God. Yet how many who attend these ecumenical idol fests today would be offended at the truth Paul declared about the living, true, and only God to these idolaters? True fellowship with God is knowing the truth that he is not going to share his glory of who he is and alone is with the idolatrous conceptions that men prefer over what he is pleased to reveal and declare about himself. John is not tickling ears, friends. He is declaring the truth. If your understanding and belief of who God is does not agree with what God has revealed and declared about himself, you're walking in darkness. You're lying to yourself. For example, how many, even in the church, so-called professing Church of Jesus Christ in America today, if you were to tell them that God is absolutely sovereign, would say, that's not my God. Well, then your God is not the living, true, and only God, but an idol that you need to repent of. One of the most disliked doctrines, one of the most disliked truths that God repeatedly reveals and declares in his word, that he's sovereign. You should praise God for that, because the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And a sparrow does not fall to the ground apart from the will of your heavenly Father. And yet those say, oh, God can't be sovereign. What does God declare about himself in Isaiah 42:8? I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. How many in the church, so-called, in America, would show they are not walking in fellowship with God, but the idol they call God, if truths God has been pleased to reveal about himself, as, say, summarized in the excellent book by Stephen Charnock, The Existence and Attributes of God. If they read that and it challenged them, and it corrected their incorrect and false views of who God is, how many would say, well, that's not my God? John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. You can't walk in fellowship with the living God if you're going to say, God, I don't believe you're who you say you are. I repeat, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He has revealed and declared things about himself that are true, and he's not going to change the truth of who he knows himself to be from all eternity to please the idolatrous, ecumenical, dark mind of lost men who think they can define the word God in ways that please them but dishonor God. John tells you what such a person is doing. They are lying to themselves and walking in darkness. And Paul tells believers what we are not to do if we confess the living, true, and only God known only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Be not yoked together with them. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Amen. Friends, remember this. It wasn't the moral lives of believers in the first century that got them into trouble with the idolatrous masses of Rome. It was their refusal to go along with the mantra, you can have God your way in pagan America, excuse me, pagan Rome. And notice how John ends this sixth verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You cannot even begin to live correctly if you have an incorrect and idolatrous view of God. Yet how many foolishly and dangerously think that they are doing things, even good things, even as they reject the truth about God that he has been pleased to reveal about himself in his written word and his beloved Son. Truth about God must precede and has to precede that which is true with regard to practice. What do you believe about God? Does your life reflect that you are believing in the true and only God of the Scriptures? Blessed are you if it does. Does it? Let us pray. O Lord our God, how we thank you for the gift of taking away the darkness from our idolatrous minds and understanding, and showing us the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, so that when we gather in this place to hold forth the word of God, the truth about God, we are not gathered as idolaters, sadly like the Buddhists and the Hinduists and the Islamicists and the Romanists and so many other ists are. We have gathered in this place to confess the truth of the living God, the true God, the only God known in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we want you to work in us that which is well-pleasing in your sight. We want to do the truth because you are the God of truth. And as the God of truth, you alone can guide us into that which is true and right. And so we ask for that blessing even today. If there is anything in our understanding about you that is wrong, please deliver us from it. Especially, O Father, the truth that I seek to open up even in the next hour, the wonderful truth that if we are in Christ, you will never leave us or forsake us. Oh, what a wonderful truth to lay hold of in these days. May we know it better by your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.